Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast with Pastor Paul White. This five-minute podcast is designed to reveal to you the loveliness of our Lord Jesus.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the podcast. Hope that you're blessed wherever you are today. I'm reading from my book, Revelation to Transformation, How Seeing Jesus Will Change Your Life. I'm in chapter 2 at the top of page 11 from the chapter titled The Power of the Exchange Life. The knowledge of what is right and wrong provided Adam with no help to do the right and avoid the wrong, trapping him in a system of works by which he would always try to live. Our first father introduced us to religion, effectively binding us to a life lived by our conscience, where we try day and night to get back to the place that he had so easily lost. Even his day-to-day bread would now be acquired by the sweat of his own labor, making all of his spiritual blessings come by the same means. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Before we go any further, I want to remind you of one often missed fact from the garden experience. Sin was not born out of a rebellious spirit on Adam and Eve's part, for they had no rebellion in their hearts. Satan's trick in getting Eve to eat the fruit, which led to Adam eating it as well, was to lead her to believe that God had withheld some of his righteousness and knowledge from her. He said to Eve, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Eve ate because she wanted to be more righteous, not to be rebellious. Religion never intends to do wrong, but is always designed to make us better. Unfortunately, as Eve quickly learned, there is no righteousness to be found in works. Now that we are born with the nature to sin inside of us, we have certain tendencies and habits that prevail over us, whether we like it or not. One man finds it impossible to resist alcohol, while another can't control his temper. One woman struggles with envy and jealousy in her heart, while another is under the addiction to drugs and is powerless to be free. These people often place their hope in religious activity, but after a while, they find that not only are they still in bondage, but they are also racked by guilt and regret. The Apostle Paul experienced this type of failure. He wrote that the more he tried to do right, the more he did wrong, Romans 7:15. He grew so incensed at his own mistakes that he cried out in desperation, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Romans 7:24. He was smart enough to know that these actions would lead to death, and his deliverance was going to come through a person. His conclusion was, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord," verse 25. Paul had learned that religion and works were leaving him frustrated, and victory would only come through someone else doing the work for him. When we see a loved one who has a problem, we call an intervention and try to confront the person so that he will be motivated to take steps toward improvement. God saw that mankind had myriad problems, so he did an intervention of his own. He became flesh and dwelled among men. He lived all of the rules and ordinances of the law perfectly, and then took the punishment that was destined for fallen man into himself and died so that men could go free. This action culminated at the cross, where Jesus suffered shame and humiliation before crying out, "It is finished." We refer to this as the finished work, because Jesus finished the work of our redemption there. We introduce the term the finished work in the opening chapter, but it will surface often throughout this book as our transformation from who we were into who we want to be starts and stops at his finished work. The act of the finished work on the cross was God paying for the debt caused by sin. He was literally paying for us to have his glory working through us as we had lost that with Adam's fall. Paul wrote that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, while the Jerusalem Bible says that when we sinned, we forfeited God's glory. What we forfeited in sin, Christ got back through his finished work. Since you and I actually fell from glory through our representative Adam, it became possible for us to be recovered by a second representative, which was Jesus. Paul said it this way in Romans 5, verses 18 and 19. "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." By declaring the world guilty or condemned through one man's fall, Adam's, God could justly declare the world righteous through one man's, Jesus's, obedience. Due to this important rule, Christianity is not about not sinning, but it is about letting Christ live his perfect life through us. It is the obedience of one that makes you and me righteous. Praise God. That's all I have time for today. I'll continue reading from our book tomorrow. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Podcast. For more information on our ministry, visit www.paulwhiteministries.org.